This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:45 in the evening. You are with Lynn and Kelvin on the evening edition, and like we said, we had some updates earlier on the fact that UMNO and PAS are now backing Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as a candidate for Prime Minister, which puts him, and along with some other MPs, puts him at 96, I believe, or at least that's the number that's being reported. So we just wanted to, I guess, analyse a little bit what this means in the context of the very slow race to try and identify who our 8th Prime Minister is going to be. Joining us on the line, as she has been very kindly doing all week, is Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thank you so much for taking our call.
Most welcome. Good evening to everybody.
So let's look at the numbers that have just come in with UMNO, PAS and Bersatu backing Muhyiddin. Where does this bring us in terms of what does this all mean?
My expectation is Warisan will also be joining, and I think that Muhyiddin will have the numbers to form a new government. I think at this point, UMNO is not split, so I think a new government will probably maybe by this weekend. I think that this is indicates that deals have been struck, but Mahathir is no longer prime minister or even interim prime minister in terms of the looking toward the future.
With that particular note on Warisan, why is it so certain that they might actually put their support behind Muhyiddin Yassin?
Well, of course, I want to have to qualify everything in this fluid situation, but I think Shafi Abdal and Muhyiddin Yassin have had a very close relationship in UMNO. They have worked together, and Shafi Abdal is much closer to Muhyiddin than he is to Anwar Ibrahim. He's had opportunities in the last week to come over to support Pakatan Harapan, but he is stood by Mahathir, and I think part of that is now extending to Mahathir's endorsement of Muhyiddin, which also, by the way, has now also got a royal endorsement, in the sense that this is a process that has seen Muhyiddin come through with royal support.
So for a long time, it looked as if, I mean, I say long time, this week has felt long, but truthfully, it was a few days where there were only two names that were being talked about repeatedly, right? It was the same two names, really, that we've heard over the last couple of years. It's either Tun M or Anwar. Where did, where was Tan Sri Muhyiddin becoming a front runner, something that you saw coming?
Well, Muhyiddin has always been in the mix. Initially, he was a mix. He was in the running as a possible compromise figure, as a kind of, if Mahathir was unwilling to give to Muhyiddin, maybe there could be some sort of cooperation within the former Pakatan Harapan to come together. And it's clear that, people in Bersatu wanted what Muhyiddin to be an important player in the system, given the position he had in Home Affairs. And I think in this week, we've heard Muhyiddin as one of the alternative contenders, and this is even before Mahathir had been anointing him as his sort of essentially chosen successor.
And what now of Tun M, now that he may have sort of stepped back from the picture?
Well, first of all, Malaysian history has shown that Tun Mahathir never steps back. He continues to play a political role. I think his son is now part of politics. He will see a sense of connection to having passed the baton in this particular way, at least at this point. You know, things may change over the weekend, I must point out, but generally, as it seems from this particular circumstances and analysis. And I think he can play more of a sideline role, but he can continue to influence. But at the same time, it's very important that for UMNO, and people in UMNO, Mahathir is no longer there. I mean, with the Mufakat National support of Muhyiddin, UMNO in total is now back. All of those who have charges against them, including Najib Tun Razak, are now back into the mix and potentially into political power if this government is allowed to sit and move as it would seem in the situation in terms of the numbers. I'd also like to say that, you know, in coalition governments, these circumstances happen. You have people who have charges, like Netanyahu in Israel, who are part of governments in these processes. So it's not uncommon, it's not unknown, but of course it's not necessarily what it is clearly not the mandate that Malaysians vote for. And I think Muhyiddin Yassin faces a real issue because he's the man without a mandate. He has now been, his baton seems to have passed to him, but he will face very serious obstacles because the now Pakatan Harapan will move into the opposition. It will be a much stronger opposition because they now have been betrayed yet again publicly in this process. So it will affect their supporters. And also it will give a sense to the international community as well as within Malaysia that they were wronged. And this, of course, gives them some more legitimacy. But at the same juncture, given their experience in government, they have stronger capacity to raise issues now as the opposition that they did before. They know, as insiders, what happened in the first Pakatan Harapan government, the roles that Muhyiddin and other people within that government played. So I think we're going to see a very interesting time. And I think that one has to recognize, as you look forward in Malaysia, that, you know, this nothing is the end. Things evolve and there is fluidity in this process.
So let's that I think that was a really beautiful summation about what our government could possibly look like, especially in terms of what the opposition potentially would be bringing to the table. Do we know, you know, considering the fact that, as you pointed out, Muhyiddin would be coming to this without a mandate as such, what would he bring to the table? What might our government, what shape might it take?
Well, I think this is one of the issues that will have to be worked out. You know, positions, and there is no guarantee that this new coalition, given the demands that parties make within that coalition, will itself be stable. Because, in fact, you know, there are a lot of people who would like positions, and I think that that we're at a situation where we're going to have a dynamic where I think that there will be pressures in the new coalition from the onset. And they have to look for economic deliverables for their constituents. And I think it reduces UMNO and PAS's leverage because now they are part of the government, so they can no longer play the same kind of attacking role. So it's going to be some very interesting shifts. And the coalition, the new coalition that's coming in, has a lot of pressures. They'll have to have compromises.
Would this be what you call a backdoor government, and can the public do anything to oppose it?
Well, I think that, one of the things the public can do as things move forward is there will be elections. And I think this is something that in 2.5 years, according to the Constitution, two and a half years may seem a long way away now, but it's not as long as it was for previous circumstances and environment. I think also at the same time, I'm not clear how well this will go down within the public. Large parts of the public will be very unhappy. And in every parliamentary system, its stability rests on whether or not the opposition and the society accept it. And I think things are still evolving, so we're going to watch to see how this evolves. I think there will be considerable anger among large sections of the society because this was not the mandate that they voted for.
You mentioned elections. Just to kind of take it back, does this mean that snap elections are out of the picture?
No, it still remains in the picture because this coalition could break apart before it even sets itself because of the demands and issues that are associated with it. So, but at this point, they're joined forces by mutual interest. They're joined forces by more common ideology. Excuse me. And so those things come together.
And what does this all mean for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim?
Well, I think he is no looking. His chances of becoming prime minister in the immediate future have significantly decreased. But he is still a major player within the political process. And in some ways, I believe an event like this strengthens support around him because of the sense of betrayal that has happened.
Bridget, I mean, we've been trying to anticipate a timeline throughout this whole thing, trying to see what the next thing might be that's going to bring news or change the situation. From where you're standing, what's the next thing? You know, what is the next thing that might emerge that, is going to either confirm or change things once again?
I think the statement by Warasan, if it comes out. I think GPS has been more independent in this process. And I think Warasan, I think, is the next thing to look for, the timeline of setting up the government in this process, and seeing whether or not the other parties and members within the parties agree with their leaders. At this point, it seems that all of is united, but there are differences within that party. So we'll see in the media whether or not there are any people who differ in that and how that moves forward. So I think, there's still considerable fluidity. We're looking at the circumstances and what those might be in terms of projection, in terms of those numbers. But individuals are different than parties. And so we'll have to see if all the individuals stand by these particular dynamics.
Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Most welcome, and have a good evening.
You too. That was Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, talking to us about the latest developments in this move towards finding Malaysia's 8th Prime Minister. And we have been asking you for your thoughts on the line with us. We do not have someone on the line with us just yet, but we will, I think, in a little bit. And we do, however, have messages. First of all, this from Vicky.
This new coalition is less stable than Pakatan Harapan, two tigers that want to be king, and with two different ideological directions. Parties with two different ideological directions will squabble. It's a marriage of convenience.
Which is pretty much what Bridget said earlier, I think. This idea of stability, it's very important. We haven't had it maybe we did have it and didn't appreciate it, guys. Because looking at the way things are now, it's making me miss the days that I think even then weren't all that great, but still, they were better than these.
Yeah, I just don't quite understand what exactly... Well, not to say I don't understand, but it's interesting to observe the back and forth of UMNO and PAS so far, that they at one point vouched for Tun Lem as prime minister, and then the next day they wanted snap elections, and now they're back saying that they will support Bersatu. So I think, at least from an observational standpoint, it'll be interesting to see how and what will happen to UMNO now that Bersatu might actually be the party in charge, along with PAS in the way as well. So not exactly a place I imagined us to be, but yeah, here we are, maybe. Here we are, maybe. We still have the few hours till this evening ends and over the weekend as well.
Let us know what you think. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this will be continued after the 7 o'clock news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.